Good morning. We begin this morning with our second week of our sermon series, BUMC Connect. And so on this Sunday, we approach the second goal that our board has set before us. As I said last week, the board met early this spring, and we decided that here at Broadway, we wanted to set three goals for the church. The first goal was to form a prayer team. The second goal was to start two new small groups, one specifically being a women's ministry and the other being a new membership class. And the last goal was to form an outreach committee and to host one event per quarter. And so as we continue to live out those goals in the life of our community, I feel that it's important that we talk about those goals so that we can continue to practice them in our everyday lives and in our lives in community. And so last week we talked about prayer, and this week we're going to talk about small groups and connecting with one another in Christian community. Several years ago, back in 2014, Aaron and I had our dreams come true. No, it was not our marriage. That happened a year later. It was not the birth of our daughter, because that happened even after that. But it was our chance to go to Game 6 of the World Series when the Royals played the San Francisco Giants. And as many of you know, the Royals had a long drought of World Series play, right? They had not been to the World Series since 1985, before I was born. I gotta laugh there. And so we were excited that our boys in blue were finally arriving at the grand stage. And so at game six, they were down in the count. They were down 3-2 against the Giants. And so Aaron and I pulled into the Kauffman Stadium parking lot, and we were pumped. This was the most excited we had ever been for a Royals game in our entire lives, or at least my entire life. He was born in 1985, so I don't know how he felt that year that they went to the World Series. But that game, in so many ways, as we sat around in the crowd, we recognized that early on, the Royals were going to be victorious. In the second inning, I think they scored 7 runs of the 10 that they would eventually score that game. It was the best game I have ever been to in my entire life. And as we were around that group of people, we had the worst seats we've ever had. But we instantly became friends with everyone who was seated near us. We applauded with one another. We shook each other's hands. We gave each other big high fives, or high tens in that case. We jumped up and down. We cheered with one another. We were transformed with one another. As I think about what it means to be in community, this Royals game gives me a glimpse of what that looks like. It's like when you're in a concert and everyone is singing the same song with one another, or when there's a tragedy or something terrible happens in our world, when we come together around common purpose. There's this book, it's called One by Nick Cunningham, and he asks us this question: how do we move from being a part of a crowd to being in community with one another? And he says this: a crowd is when a group of people gather in the same place at the same time, but a community is when that same group of people who are gathered in the same place in the same time are also gathered around the same purpose. In Acts 4, just 2 chapters after what Connie read for us today, we get a glimpse of community. And Luke, the author of Acts, Acts is his sequel to Luke's gospel. He says that a community is a group of people of one heart and one mind. Now, these people in Acts, they were from all over the world. They were doing different things. They had a variety of customs, a variety of backgrounds. And I would beg to say they probably did not see eye to eye on everything. They probably did not necessarily agree on the carpet color in the sanctuary, or what spices they should add to the bread that week, or maybe even who was going to lead their prayer at the beginning of their time together. But they had a common purpose. That purpose was to bear witness to the powerful resurrection of Jesus Christ. An act that was more than just a sign or a miracle. But Jesus' resurrection showed that the kingdom of God was breaking into the world. And they were called to bear witness to this great event, not just an event in history, but an event that transcended history. Because it shows God not only was breaking into the world then, but God is breaking into the world now. And when we come together in community, we are called to bear witness to just that. So when we start to read Acts, what Connie read for us this morning, we hear these words. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. How many of you have heard the word fellowship before? Anyone? Yes. We get together for fellowship all the time, right? We have fellowship every Sunday after church, although I'm not sure. Are we having fellowship this Sunday? Because I don't see food back there. Craig is shaking his head no. Man, this would have been the perfect week to have fellowship. But as we gather for fellowship, we come together, we eat with one another, we chat, we catch up on our weeks, right? But in Acts, fellowship was more than just coffee after church. It was more than just saying, hey, how was your work week? Fellowship meant that they came together in common purpose. That they prayed with one another, that they worshiped with one another, and they put aside their own individualism for the shared purpose of the community. And that purpose is to bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's this fancy word we learn in seminary. And basically, it's how we are together. It's our being together. It's called koinonia. Has anyone ever heard that word before? Okay, so you learned something new this morning. Can you say it? Koinonia. Yeah, that was great. But in the New Testament, koinonia was the deepest kind of support system there is. It gives face to names. It takes those who are just faces in the crowd and it makes them human. It brings us into relationship. It allows us to call everyone seated here and in churches around the globe brother and sister. Whether we know them or not, because they belong to Christ, they are known by us. God is the essence of koinonia, the triune God, who is a relationship between God and Jesus and the Spirit. And this is the very same model that we learn in Acts for the church. That people should be able to say, see how those Christians love one another? Surely their witness cannot be separated. But day by day, it says in Acts, the Lord added to their number. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to go to the Holy Land. This is my second favorite experience next to the Royals game, okay? And part of our stay, we stayed for two nights on the east side of the Sea of Galilee at this resort of sorts, but it was ran by a local kibbutz. And a kibbutz is a Hebrew word, which literally means the gathering or clustering. But a kibbutz is a collective community in Israel. Traditionally, they were based in agriculture, but these communities started to do more than just agriculture, and so one community opened a resort for tourists to stay in. And so I remember asking our guide, what's a kibbutz? Because anybody ever heard of that word before? Some of us, maybe. So this community shares everything with one another. And I remember saying to our guide, well, that seems a little communist, doesn't it? That they share everything together. And I think sometimes this kind of community might give us pause because kind of the motto of the kibbutz is what you bring on the kibbutz stays on the kibbutz. And so I was told that if I became a member of a kibbutz and had a baby, that baby then would belong to the community. It is literally nothing is yours, everything is the community's. Now, I'm not sure if I would sign up for a life like this. Would any of you? Maybe. But as I read through our text this morning, I recognized that that might be the kind of community God is calling us to be in. That this is the very community that those in the early church were a part of. That it says they came together, they shared everything they had with one another. And then if you continue to read on in Acts 4, we get the same sort of message. And it says, they gave to one another and no one was in need. No one was in need. Now, I want you to imagine a world where no one was in need. Where no one was homeless. Where no one was without food. Where no one was struggling to pay their rent. Where a single mom wasn't worried if her car was going to run the next morning so she could get her kids to school. So maybe we've missed the mark just a little bit. Maybe this is the community we are called to be a part of. Now, I'm not suggesting this morning that we do something radical and that we all go sell our homes and clear out our bank accounts and just give them all to Broadway and we'll say, we'll take care of you. Although, if anybody wants to sign up for that, let me know after church. But what I am suggesting is that we might think about putting aside our individualism, our own needs and desires, and putting the community first, putting the purpose of the community first. Because in our lives, our call is to bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and to go out into the world and to make disciples in his name. We are called to be agents of bringing about the kingdom of God here on earth. And so as we think about that second goal that we have, which is to form two new small groups, to form a women's group and a new members class. That seems to fall really short of what we hear in Acts, which is to come together in common fellowship, to sell all of our possessions and live in community with one another and to eat together every single night and to praise God all the time. But I think it's a start to that goal. That as witnesses of what it means to be Christians in the world, we have to be able to come together more than a time on Sunday morning. We have to be in Christian community beyond that. And so part of my invitation today is that as we continue these goals, we've already started the women's group, right? How many of you have been to that? Some of you who are here, yes. Most people are not here that have been into that. And then we're also planning our new and renew membership class here in a few weeks. But once these goals are met, and we're almost have met them, right? We don't just stop there. The board is going to come back together and say, okay, how can we continue discipleship and community at our life here in Broadway? In our life here at Broadway, is how I should have said that. And so I invite you to be in prayer for the future of Broadway and how we can continue to connect with one another. How we can continue to be in relationship and how we can continue to share in common community for the purpose of bearing witness to Jesus Christ in the world. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, I give you thanks today. I thank you for the community that you have called us to, that you have led us to, the community in which we are a part. And God, I continue to ask that we would not rest where we are, but that we would continue to grow in you. God, that you would continue to call us and shape us and form us so that we might be the community that you call us to be. God, we love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.